This is Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10, and in the Pew Bible it's page 532, and in the large print Bible it's page 856. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you to be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in his way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Hannah. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the book of Psalms, for the way we've been enjoying this change of pace and hearing from you through them throughout our summer. We pray, Lord, help us to hear what you have for each one of us here this morning in this text. Amen. Well, we're getting towards the end of the summer. You know, how many people are going back to school next week? See, quick show of hands. Oh, I feel your pain already. But you know what? It's a nice Sunday because we can look back at the fun stuff we've been doing over the summer. And I'm sure a lot of you have been doing the same sort of things I have. I'm sure lots of us have had lots of days out across this sort of summer season. And wherever that's been, it might be different for each of us. I'm sure for some of us, it's been a trip to the countryside or maybe the beach. Maybe your bag is museums or going to the zoo. Maybe you're a National Trust member or perhaps the thrill rides of Thought Park are more your scene. Helen's scene, obviously. But you know what? No matter where we've been, no matter where our kind of tastes might have led us on our days out, I can almost guarantee that we've all got pretty much one thing in common. It's putting our trust in this to get us to the right place. Oh yes, people, I'm talking about the Maps app, Google Maps, SatNav, call it what you will. We are increasingly reliant on our tech to get us where we want to go, right? Yeah? Not just me. And the thing is that we trust so faithfully that the postcode we have Googled is going to lead us directly to our destination. And those giggles tell me that we know that that is not always the case, right? You know, I on more than one occasions, I have found that the iPhone Maps app has led me to nearly the right location. I have been to the back door of several National Trust properties. You know what? Their offices look lovely, but they won't let you in. And there's no car park. And we've all had that experience, I guess. You're driving along, you've put your directions in, and you're nearing that destination. And that bit of doubt starts to creep in. Because the road signs seem to be indicating a slightly different path to what your phone is telling you. And you've got that inner wrestling of going, do I stick with the phone? Or do I follow my common sense? The phone, my own brain. And you go, right, I'm gonna do common sense. I'm gonna do common sense. And of course you do that, and then your phone says, proceeds to the route. And you drive a bit further, and it gets a bit more irate. Proceeds to the route. Then of course you get further along, and it goes, rerouting. And it gets more determined, doesn't it? Our phone, it just gets angry at us that it's taking us to the place that's not quite where we want to get it to. And our psalm this morning, Psalm 25, is all about directions. It's all about the directions that we choose to follow with our lives. Now, we've just seen that outlined so beautifully in our baptism service this morning. That is all about making a choice of which direction we want to follow. And for every one of us here this morning, we have a choice to follow God, a choice to place our trust in him, that he will lead us in the right direction for our lives. Now, this psalm has two kind of big ideas that run like in parallel through it. And the first is this idea of the person who wrote it's desire to trust and follow God. And the second theme is his reason for the decision. And that reason is the kind of the overwhelming goodness and trustworthiness of God. Because unlike our phone or Google Maps, God will never lead you down the wrong path. So let's have a little look at what our psalmist has to say. So it begins with these sometimes well-known words. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. So the writer, who is probably King David, of David and Goliath fame, but older and less slingshotty, he's committing himself wholeheartedly to God at the beginning of this psalm, which is like a song of praise or a prayer. And that phrase, to lift up his soul, really means that he's placing everything about himself into God's hands. And then the second line really states and underlines why he feels able to do that. Why he says, I can put myself entirely into your hands. Why? Because, oh my God, in you I trust. He simply trusts. And then the verses that follow that are, like, for those of you who know King David's story, he has kind of a patchy time and he makes lots of enemies all over the road. And so the next couple of verses are all about him asking for protection in what were probably quite challenging circumstances for him as king. And then it starts to focus in. So he started quite wide about the sort of general placing himself into God's arms. And then he starts to talk a bit more specifically about what he's asking God to do. So in verse 4, David says, make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all day long. So David says to God, he says, Lord, I want to know your ways. I want to know your plan for my life. He says, teach me so that I can follow your instructions. Show me the real truth about the world and how we're called to live in it. Now, we have this huge benefit as Christians that David didn't have. So David is asking the Lord for this because he's not got it all written down and neatly bound into the volume of a Bible. You know, he's kind of discerning it prayerfully and listening. We can see God's plan written down in black and white, which is great. But whether we're David doing it prayerfully and trustfully or from us from that position of being able to read it, there's still an element of choice. And there is always a choice to choose to follow the path with how we live. Now, in baptism, you guys have just made a huge promise for how you want Isla to be brought up. Helen asked you just a few moments ago, will you pray for Isla? Draw her by your example into the community of faith, i.e. the church, and walk with her in the way of Christ. And you guys replied with a hearty, with the help of God, we will. That's one of the choices that parents and godparents make. They go, this is the way I want my child to grow up, knowing the way that God asks us to live. And in a few weeks' time, we've got the adult version of this. We've got a service of confirmation where adults and young people, instead of their parents and godparents promising for them, they'll take on those same promises for themselves. It's about them affirming the path that they've chosen to follow. And I think this choice to follow Jesus or not is the most amazing, and it's also the most important choice any of us can ever make. And as a parent myself, what a privilege it is to make those promises on behalf of your children in baptism. And for those of you who've done that, it's the most amazing thing you can choose for them. I believe that this choice is so important for the same reasons David thought it was, because God's goodness and his love are the greatest things this world has to offer, and we can trust God completely. And the rest of the psalm focuses on just how good God is. There's a little phrase that repeats, it describes God's love as steadfast love, and it's three times in the psalm, but it's not just in this one. It's right through the book of Psalms, this theme that God has a love that is unfailing, that is deep, that is so rooted and so for us, and it'll never lead us astray. It's not like sat-nav that gets you close to where you want to go. It gets you to the right destination. And as the psalm said, this love of God is characterized by mercy, goodness, faithfulness of God to his people. Verse 10 says, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenants and decrees. So whichever route God has for you, it's underpinned by the fact that he loves you deeply and has this huge desire to be a part of giving you the path to walk. We're also kind of fortunate in that God's also given us the ultimate rerouting option. And we see that supremely in Jesus and in our baptism service too. He gives us this path of forgiveness when we get it wrong, when we end up at slightly near the destination, but not quite. Verse 6, David writes, "Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. And do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." So King David, in writing this, he is a guy who has every reason to need forgiveness. Because he got his life spectacularly wrong at times. He was an adulterer, a murderer, and makes countless wrong decisions. And yet he knew he could always come back to God and say, "God, can you reroute my life? Can you put me back on the right path?" And although he does all sorts of things wrong, by and large, he's remembered as a hero of the faith. You know, we know everything about King David, and yet the thing most people remember is that he is a man after God's own heart. That's the way he's described in the Bible. And of course, Jesus provides us with that ultimate picture of forgiveness at the cross. And we're going to remember that in bread and wine. How, as the result of his death and his resurrection, forgiveness and a new start, this rerouting process is open to anyone. And this whole process of forgiveness, we've seen it again in our baptism liturgy. Those six promises that you as parents and godparents made, the first three were all about the things that we turn away from, the things that we don't want as the postcode we're heading towards. And the second three promises are all about choosing that new life that Jesus has to offer us, a new life that is kind of washing away of sin and beginning along that path and trusting in that goodness and love of God as the root. I mean, yeah, that's what Drew and Amy's parents are saying for their daughter. They're saying, "We believe there's a good and loving God, and we want her to know that path." And if we're all honest, there are lots of things in life that distract us from following the route that God might have for us, like all sorts of wrong postcodes in our maps function. And that's true for us all, whether we have been a Christian our whole lives or whether, you know, faith is just something we've got questions about. And we always have to make that choice, that choice to follow God's ways. And it doesn't matter how long we've done that for. It is a matter of saying, "I'm going to try and do this." And I always think, like, if King David needed to say that in the psalm, if he, the man after God's heart, needed to continually recommit himself to God, then we probably do as well. Because following Jesus isn't just about a decision we make on a baptism day, or, you know, perhaps if we're an adult and we come to faith. It's a decision we make on a daily and weekly basis to keep trying to follow the ways of Jesus. So I'm going to leave you with a question. And it's this. Which postcode have you put into the sat-nav that guides your life? And if that postcode, if you can spell that postcode as G-O-D or J-E-S-U-S, then when did you last check in? Just to check you were still going on that right route. And wherever you are, whatever your answer is, that I believe that as we're here this morning, that God wants to meet with us and allow us and give us all those opportunities to keep committing to follow his directions. We've already seen an amazing example of it in baptism. And we can do that because we can always trust the destination. God will always get you to the right place on the fastest route. Amen. Helen, you can lead us in prayer.